Good morning and happy holidays from yours truly, Steve Dale, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. Are you stressed out? A little bit? Because you have so much to do. There's the kids, and then there's work, and then there's the holidays, and all the people coming over. Can they come over? Are they healthy? What's going to go on with that? It's a lot of stress, right? Are your pets picking up on that stress? And if so, what do you do about it? We'll talk with a veterinary behaviorist about that very topic, because after all, if you're stressed, your pets are stressed. And then maybe you get stressed because your pets are stressed. Oh, no. It's a vicious cycle. We'll also talk about keeping your pets safe over the holidays as well. Dr. Kelly Carnes is everywhere. Thrive Pet Healthcare. She's the Vice President of Medical Excellence and Education over 15 hospitals just in the Chicagoland area. And I happen to see Dr. Carnes in San Diego at a veterinary conference called Fetch and delivered the keynote address. And it was so exciting to watch, so revealing, not only of herself, but about veterinary medicine in many ways. And I thought, you know what? She's in the Chicago area, in Naperville specifically, so we ought to have her on the radio. And guess what? Here she is. Dr. Carnes, this is where I begin. Right now, coming out of the pandemic, what do you think for veterinary medicine has changed that may stick? And I think what I'm alluding to is mostly virtual care. Are we going to see that hang around forever?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Steve. This is really such a pleasure. I'm just really grateful for this opportunity. And hi, Chicagoland. I'd love to be here with you. You know, what's been really interesting in the pandemic is that we have seen an uptick in the number of pets that we have the opportunity to serve. The pandemic pet, it's a real thing. So we're seeing as a profession about 25 to 30% more patients come into our doors seeking care, which is awesome and a really great opportunity. We're seeing a lot of the shelters get cleared for the first time in decades. And with that, as you mentioned, comes the need to be really flexible and creative with how we're able to treat those pets and take care of those pet parents. You mentioned telehealth, telemedicine, virtual visits. Absolutely, we've seen that uptick in the pandemic times. I do think that will be a trend. What we're also seeing is a move to more creative ways to serve our pet parents that are more convenient.
What do you mean?
Surrounding maybe, well, curbside service and check-in, where as a pet parent, your veterinarian may give you the opportunity to drop off your pet for the day, call you or text you or use other technology to communicate with you about what's happening with your pet during that visit. So you're kept in the loop about everything going on. And then a creative, flexible option where you might be able to pick up that pet at the end of the day.
So here's some data. And being a veterinarian, I know you must love data. Most pet parents today, well, pet parents are of every age. Most are millennials. And millennials are the most impactful demographic. So they impact what their parents do. And for millennials, and there are some that are old enough now to have children that can have pets on their own, they impact what they do as well. And what I am suggesting is that they love everything you just said. Being really busy people, I've got the kids, I've got to drop them off of here, I've got to do this, I've got a job, you know? So actually dropping off the pet is a convenient thing to do. Texting, that's how I want to communicate. All of those things you just said, including who doesn't FaceTime? Or who hasn't been on a Zoom call? And you know, the assumption might be, and there may be some truth to this, if you're 85 years old, you're not as likely to have gone on Zoom calls. But you know what? 85-year-olds have learned how to do this because they want to talk to their grandkids in five states away from where they happen to be. So everything you just said, I think, is actually preferred by clients. And from the profession's perspective, may save you time and money and be more efficient, all of which pets benefit by.
Oh, 100%, Steve. I couldn't agree more. What's really important for us at Thrive Pet Healthcare, especially as we support our 450 hospitals and all the pets and pet parents they take care of, is to really make sure we can provide a really trusted, innovative, and connected ecosystem where we're really leveraging technology. We want to meet the pet parent where they're at in the way that's going to be most convenient to them and speak to them in the way that they want to be spoken to as we partner with them to take care of their pet. So whether it is a virtual video call, if it's texting throughout the day, if it's emailing, if they prefer a phone call, what we need to do is to understand that a one-size-fits-all approach does not work, and we need to be very creative to meet the needs of those pet parents to lighten the lift on their end.
Well said. During the pandemic, and even now, with everything going on in the world, everything going on in all our lives, experts suggest, as a society, we're more stressed than ever before. And then on top of that, people may be seeing you because their pet is sick, and they're stressed about that as well. Are you feeling the brunt of this?
Well, listen, the world is stressful now more than ever. And I think anybody that says otherwise, I don't know what universe they're living in. I mean, everybody has a heavy lift now, especially with navigating the pandemic. Yes, it is stressful on both sides. What I think is really important to understand is that everybody has a heavy lift, whether we're in a pandemic or not. And now more than ever, it's really important that we lead with compassion, that we seek to understand, that we assume best intentions, and we realize that we're all in this together for the same goal, specific to our profession, to help our patients and to help our pet parents navigate whatever's going on with them. So I think now more than ever, one of the notes in my keynote was really focusing on communication, empathy, and seeking to stand to understand the other. And I think that's going to be our key to get around what we can't solve. Let's control the controllable. We can't control what's going to happen outside us, but we can control how we react to it. So if we lead with open, transparent communication and seeking to understand the other, I think we can deflate a little bit of that bubble of tension.
You know, when you said assume best intentions, I love that. But do people really do that? And you know, I find personally, and maybe you've witnessed otherwise, that veterinary technicians or nurses in particular do get the brunt of people not doing what you just said and taking out the world sometimes on them and sometimes on veterinarians as well. And what we forget as pet parents is you also have kids. You also have problems. You also have the same things going on in your lives that we have going on in our lives. But you forget for that moment when you bring that pet in who may not be feeling well and you've got everything going on. Or is it just me that's witnessed this, do you think?
Listen, I'm a pet parent, Steve, and when my poorly mannered but very sweet Great Dane Black Lab mix has a problem or one of my cats or my horse is sick, I have my pet parent hat on. That's human nature. That's your child. So what we need to do as a profession is to understand that. And to your point, those technicians and our front desk staff, they're the true superheroes on the front line, navigating a lot of the first communications with those pet parents. And you're right, they do have a heavy lift in being the front line. What we need to do is to recognize, to your point, we're all human, and to humanize each other to each other. So for me and for my team members that are veterinary professionals, it's really important to remember the perspective of that pet parent. We are parents. How would we feel if our pet was sick? And to lead with that empathy and also to communicate openly and honestly. I think it's perfectly fine if anybody's having a tense conversation to say to the other person, hey, we're all on the same team here. Let's take a breath. I really want to help you get your pet better.
And that's actually the bottom line, right, is getting the pet better. Listen, I would love to talk to you more, but we're actually out of time. Dr. Kelly Cairns, Thrive Pet Healthcare. We'll talk again at some point. And as I said, and I'll say it again, your keynote was terrific. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great day.
Veterinary behaviorist Dr. Marie Hopfensperger, assistant professor of veterinary behavior at Michigan State University, College of Veterinary Medicine. Here's the good news. The holidays are right around the corner. Here's the bad news. Our pets are sometimes really stressed out. The doorbell's ringing. People come to visit more often than ever before. And I guess the biggest thing might be the change in our routine. What do you think?
Well, certainly the pets in our household know that there is a change in routine happening. They see a difference to our schedule. I think it's especially hard for our pandemic pets. So we have cats and dogs who have never experienced the holidays as we knew it pre-COVID. They maybe only experienced a socially distanced Thanksgiving and winter holidays last year. So for them, it's going to be a really big change as we're preparing to have guests potentially in the home or traveling to other people's homes for those holidays. So that's going to be packing, grocery shopping in big ways, and cooking and prepping and cleaning. That's really different than what they may have been experiencing in their quarantine days with us.
Now, is there any way to mitigate the stress, either by adjusting our behavior, or today there's all sorts of products out there that might be able to help?
For sure. I think the biggest thing is during our actual holiday events. So the gatherings, when we're having friends and family over for the first time in many months, our pets have no idea that that's about to happen. They know you're prepping and cooking and you're doing things differently, but that doesn't necessarily clue them into the fact that a bunch of maybe non-familiar people or only semi-familiar people will be entering their domain. So things we can do would be set them up with a safe space ahead of time. So for cats in particular, they might like to know exactly where their food, water, and litter box is so that they can hunker down if they're a bit more of a shy cat who does not want to be a part of the action. And in many ways, the same goes true for dogs, is providing them a sanctuary where they can retreat if they need a little bit of personal space amidst all the hectic activity. And in addition, I think of supplements and medications as a great way we can warn pets that something's going to be different and try to help them cope better. So there are a variety of options for milder anxiety, such as Zilkine, that we can give for cats and dogs who experience, you know, subtle signs of stress. And then you could also work with your local veterinarian if your pet experiences more dramatic evidence of stress or anxiety about visitors to the home, they may need some additional support.
So you mentioned a product called Zilkine. What is that?
Zilkine is alpha-cazosapine, almost as hard to pronounce as my last name. And that is a supplement that comes from milk proteins and has some calming properties, and in some ways, in some studies, has similar properties to something like a benzodiazepine. So people might take a Xanax due to acute anxiety. Going to have milder and less side effects than that, but offers some relatively immediate anti-anxiety properties.
Yeah, I believe you'd call it a nutraceutical, which is not quite a neutral nutritional supplement. It's not quite a pharmaceutical. It's a hybrid sort of in between, correct?
Yes, it lives in that happy medium of nutraceutical. So it's not by prescription. So it is something that you can procure yourself. But if you have specific questions or concerns, you know, talking to your local vet is going to be a top-notch way to make a decision if Zilkine is the right choice for your pet.
How important is exercise in all this, helping to find maybe a way to get some of that anxiety out in a directed manner?
I think exercise has its most beneficial quality when it's part of your pet's normal routine. So if going for a hike or a walk is way outside of your normal, I wouldn't necessarily introduce it on Thanksgiving Day. But if it is a part of your pet's normal routine, I would keep that in place. And doing it beforehand means they've had a chance to run off some energy, work off some energy, and also being able to hang on to that normalcy that is part of their day-to-day routine that can help them feel safe and secure, I think can be really helpful, especially for our exuberant pups.
Okay, perfect. Dr. Hopfensperger, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I know it's a stressful time. And, you know, you can mitigate the stress the ways that Dr. Hopfensperger explained, but there are some more. Yes, there's more we can do, more we should do, because I don't want your pets to land in the emergency room on Christmas Day or anywhere near there. So, yes, have you noticed Santa has really not lost a lot of weight? And you may leave out cookies for Santa, and that's fine. And you're thinking, oh, Steve's going to talk about chocolate again. We know chocolate is not good for pets. True, it's not. I'm going to talk about xylitol. It begins with the letter X, but it's pronounced xylitol. It's an artificial sweetener. And if you want to bake cookies that are, well, not so caloric rich for Santa, good idea for Santa's waistline. But if you leave them out all the time, right, and they've got xylitol in them, your pet can get very, very sick as a result of that. Also, the Christmas tree itself. People add all sorts of things to the Christmas tree water to help it live longer. Don't do that. It probably isn't going to work. But that's okay. You can do that. Buy one of the manufactured products out there. Just put, I think they're called lattice fences around, so the pet can't drink that water that you've now added some substance to that can make your pet sick. Or people go online and they add all kinds of crazy things to the Christmas tree water. Most of all, tinsel. I am opposed to tinsel. Governor Pritzker, are you listening? There ought to be a law in Illinois that says no tinsel can be sold if you have pets in the household or anywhere near your household because they're so attracted by it. And then the pet swallows some tinsel, and there you go, ends up right at the emergency veterinary clinic. And you don't want to do that over the holidays. Our cats, they're paying more attention to us. I'll explain next. No need to stop the presses for this news. We know that dogs pay attention to what we do and what we say. How many words do you think that the average dog understands? The number? 165. Some more, some less. How about cats? What do you think that number is? The number is somewhere, say experts, between 20 and 50. However, it turns out the cats may pay more attention to us than we ever thought. According to recent research published in the journal Animal Cognition, cats were given a solvable task to get some kibble easily out of a treat dispenser. And then an impossible task, a treat dispenser with a closed lid. They couldn't get it out in the presence of either an attentive or inattentive caregiver. Now, here's what they would look for. This is what the researchers look for. In the solvable task condition, cats easily figured out how to do it themselves, no problem, done. However, with the container that had the closed lid, what did cats do? Now, you might think that the cat, the average cat, would just walk away. Most cats did not do that. They really wanted the treat. So what did they do? They tried to convey to their person, help, I need help. Now, we have always known that dogs are adept at doing this. Dogs, if you give a dog a problem and the dog doesn't know how to solve the problem, dogs, your average dog, will look to us for help. They won't necessarily try to figure it out themselves at some point in time. They do, but then they say, oh, I can't do it anymore. I need help. And I will look to my person to give me help. We never thought the cats do that. It turns out the study funded by Purina researchers determined that, yes, cats indeed do that, believe it or not. So your average cat is paying more attention to you than you ever expected. So be careful what you do and what you say around your cat. We'll be back next week with a dramatic reading. I'm sure that you are looking forward to this. You need to hear it. A Pet's Night Before Christmas. Also, Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos, a good friend of the program, will be here to talk about how to keep your pets safe over the holidays. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, right here on WGN.